Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna.
Wake up, goddammit! Petey Green!
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountain. We gon' walk it out and move on day. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up. And I do it 1,008 times again. And I'll
good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening.
You so jive.
Bienvenido, Cape Town. Namaste, Oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Even if we're jive to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. Broadcasting to you live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX at the end. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties, holding down the other half. You already heard him jumping in. Some call him the Lion's Historian, others call him Unc. I already got a few names for him, but I'm going to stay with my best friend, my dad, Bill Green.
You're so jive. Yeah, man. You know,
what's happening?
That song just lights me up, man. You know, for the millions of folks out there,
millions and millions.
I had asked Wilfredo earlier today if there's some way the studio could chart that tune. And he's like, I don't know, man. I got some other things. And then, bang, this comes on. You know? Thank you for that, man. Yeah, that moves me, man. Every time I hear it, it moves me. Yeah. So what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I was going to drop this in. K-Tel, namaste, bienvenidos. Jay, there you go. We're working that Spanish. Learn it, man. Learn it. What did Denzel say? You better learn it, man. But I was gonna come at the people with this today.
That'll work.
Seeing
too.
That, you know, seeing what today is, I just thought it was kind of cool. Today being the 21st of September. So I just thought it was cool. So happy 21st of September.
Yeah. You could have let that roll a little longer. I mean, I never was. All my homies were. They were big Earth, Wind, and Fire fans. I never really was. But, you know,
really?
That one, nah. They never appealed to me any more than people got caught up with them dudes who, I don't even remember their name, but they did the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever.
The Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees. You know, you would think with those initials.
that's your group right there, man.
No, man. But yeah, anyway, you know, but that song, September, that always made at least one foot move a little bit. Yeah. So right on, man. So you good, man? I'm going to get out of the way so you can do the due diligence. But you good?
Yeah, man, I'm good. Are you kidding? You know, trouble seemed to kind of come off a little bit. The shoulders kind of move around a little bit when 7 o'clock hit, man. So yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah, but I hope you give a follow up, man, or some tie in to your experience with your neighbor, man. That was.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get into that.
That was classic.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that in a second. I'll follow up with that, but before I do, there's a couple follow ups we got tonight, actually. So with that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, for about an hour or so, me and my dad opens the line here, opens the airwaves, whatever you want to call it, every Monday and Wednesday with our live shows. During our live shows, a couple of things we like to remind you all, the listeners, as well as he and I and anybody else out there. The first thing is that we hope that you grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, back of an envelope, a napkin. I don't care what you got. We want you to have something to write with. Questions, comments. Something you might even pick up from our discussion. We want to make sure you don't miss it, so write it down. There's also different ways that you can engage with us during our live shows. One way is that you can engage with us in the chat room with your free Blog Talk Radio profile or your account. At the bottom of our episode page on the website, you'll see the chat room, and you can jump right in there. I see Adam, and looks like Ray's in there too today, man. So good to see both my primos, Adam and Ray, in the chat room there. I see numbers already in the listening as well. It's awesome. There's different ways that you can. Jay Pass in there too. Right on. So you can also engage with us on the phone lines. For those that are listening online, and you want to call in directly, our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And again, if you're not comfortable calling, utilize the chat room. Or there's always the old Facebook. We always set up an event page on Facebook. There's a discussion tab in the event page. If you did not receive an invitation, please let us know, because we want to make sure that we get all of our information out to you when we have our new episodes, or if anything is changing, anything like that. You know, so please let us know if you're not getting, you know, our correspondence and information leading up to the show. I think that's it. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Did I forget something?
No, no. I mean, you may have, but as far as I'm concerned, the most important things have been covered. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, okay, cool, okay.
Did you touch like on getting into the chat room? You touched on
chat
that,
room,
right?
Facebook, calling in.
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, the phone lines are always open as well. Press 1 on the keypad if you want to jump in the queue. I'm not sure if I said that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smooth like the baby's bottom tonight, man, but that's all right. It's always a good show. It's always a good time being with you. So I see that somebody's already pressed 1 in the queue there.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later. So
let's
keep on trucking, baby.
But yeah, I wanted to just follow up on some things real quick. So I wasn't sure which way I should hit this up. Should I talk about the situation here, or should we follow up from Monday's discussion with the woman king?
Yeah, this is unusual, y'all, because usually Will and I talk about all this ahead of time. So to be doing it on the spot, you know, you're the dude, man. So
no problem.
Yeah,
well, look, let me just say like this: all of our shows are saved and archived. You can go back and listen to all of our previous shows. So if you didn't get a chance to check us out Monday, please go back. I'm not going to really repeat a lot of what was said, but we did talk a little bit about the Woman King, and we talked about the history, the actual history of the kingdom that's represented, Dahomey, and some of the controversies that's involved in the movie. And I was like, well, I got to go see it because I didn't see it Monday. And I wanted to make sure that Sue and I, so I took Sue to go see it yesterday. And I wanted to make sure that I saw it before we jumped in tonight's show. And all I'm going to say is go see it. See it. Dad, I think you will really dig it.
Oh, I know I will. I'm chomping at the bit, man. Go ahead, sorry.
Man, no, I'm just saying go see it. Go see it. I mean, I don't know, you know, Viola Davis is like, she's like the Denzel Washington. You know, like there ain't too many movies Denzel's going to do where it's going to give a bad taste in your mouth, you know, where it's going to, you know, there's a subject of slavery. You know, if Denzel's going to do a slavery movie, you best believe that it's going to be something that's impactful and powerful, you know. And that's all I got to say about this movie. I don't want to get too much into it. All I got to say is, if something like this, and you talk about boycotting it without even seeing it, it just doesn't make sense. And this is a great opportunity to see a piece of history that's, you know, and we talked about that there were some inaccuracies compared to what is actually written in the history books. But there's a lot of movies that we like and that's historically based in some period of context. And there's a lot of rewriting of history and movies that, you know, that we like, you know. I was thinking about you, Dad, doing some research. I'm like, you know, like Gladiator, for instance, you know, it's like there's use of real people, but there was a lot of changes in history and stuff like that. So anyway, all I got to say is go see it. And that's all I had to say about that follow-up with the movie. I know that earlier we were talking about like rewrites, and you were making references about the biblical movies and some of the other movies that you watched, that you saw when you were younger. And I didn't know if you wanted to follow up on some of that as well.
Yeah, well, you're taking away all my thunder, man.
I'm trying to roll it out for you, man.
Yeah, you know, yeah. No, that was just, you know, as it continues to come to me, and the more that I hear and engage with others about, you know, this particular movie, which I think is cool. I think, you know, if nothing else, because Hollywood is so underserved. When I say Hollywood, I mean the moving picture industry. Because I don't want the purists to get, you know, oh, what is that about? Well, you know, I'm just saying, using Hollywood as just a metaphor of the music industry, period. And it has not served, over the course of its history, it has not served black folks well at all. And so anytime a movie like this comes up and it stirs controversy, I'm like, good, bet.
Good.
Got to go see it, because if it's stirring controversy, that means not only is it a good movie, because it wouldn't stir controversy otherwise, but it's definitely hitting a chord. You know, so just the dialogue and, you know, people talking about boycotting, hey, that's great, good, because I know that's just going to make people want to go see it. So it's like, that's just free marketing. And it's like, right on, you know, and if nothing else, and you mentioned it Monday, for those who, like, are boycotting it, that means they would have had to have done some history search, to have a reason to, which is like, bet,
something.
You know, and, you know, that all makes it worse. That means you got to be, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe there'll be that person who will just get into it from a historical perspective and fall down that rabbit hole and just come away from it saying, damn, I didn't know anything about African history like this. I didn't know anything about Black history. I didn't know, you know, anyway, history of color. You get my point.
Sure.
So
sure.
To me, but the other side of it is, okay, I'm glad to see that's happening before, you know, before I'm planted in the ground. So for me, that's exciting. But the other side of it is my frustration, disappointment, and some degree of anger about the movies I have been exposed to all my life, like you mentioned it earlier, the biblical movie.
Yeah.
I mean, these movies already have a script, you know, it's laying right out there in front of them. And when I was growing up, every Easter, we were our big Easter treat after church. Well, even though my homies and I all went to different churches, we would all gather together and head downtown to the Roosevelt Theater, downtown Chicago, because the Roosevelt was the first outlet for all, it seemed like anyway, all epic biblical movies. Every Easter, whether it was King of Kings, The Greatest Story Ever Told, Barabbas, you know, I mean, like Ben-Hur, and of course, the one that sits at the top, the Ten Commandments, you know, and the Ten Commandments even still has kind of a favorite flavor to it from a family perspective, that for years, family and I, even after I, you know, my family that was, you know, my family as an adult, we would just, you know, just, I don't know the word I'm trying to think of, not loyalty, but it just became a routine, almost a ritual, where we would gather in front of the TV around Easter, because it was almost always around Easter.
Traditional.
They would show, you know, yeah, traditional. There you go. The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, you know, Yul Brynner. I mean, you know, and a cast of millions. That's what'll be the meal. And it was, you know, other than a few characters by name, it was a total rewrite. It's like, you know, just said, yeah, God don't know how to make it epic. God don't know how to make it fun. So let's put the human touch to it. Okay. Adam just put a note on there that Vernon is listening. Hey, by the way, yeah, Verno, happy birthday, man. I was going to send you a note earlier, forgot. So that's so cool, because then it would have been tomorrow, belated happy birthday, guilt, Catholic. So right on, Adam. You know, today is Vernon's birthday, man, because,
that's what we call him, ladies and gentlemen, you know. So I got to give a shout out, you know, because he is an actor, model, doing his thing, doing his, you know. So Martin Miller. I can't remember the middle initial. What's the middle initial?
V.
I can't remember.
V.
Martin.
V.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so, Vernon.
Yeah,
yeah, I thought you spelled Vernon. It starts with a V. Yeah, but, you know, anyway, go ahead, man.
No, I was just, you know, giving a shout. It is Martin. Yeah,
yeah.
Martin V.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, look him up. Martin V. Miller. Look out, man. Big things is coming out from this guy. He's working hard. working hard.
And been working hard, man. You know, he's been applying himself to this for years. So right on, man. And it was great watching the trailer. You know, and I guess I should have been paying attention to the plot and to the, you know, the dialogue. And I just, you know, checking out my man. Yeah, I just heard what he had to say, you know, so. Yeah, I was taking, and let's see, y'all don't say it anymore, but we used to say, you know, and he buff, you know, y'all got your own term to use now, man. So, it's like, swole, there you go, you know. Yeah, so it swole me up, man, you know, all the way from the ground up, man, seeing, knowing my man has been applying himself to his trade. And he had a couple other things out there, too. It's not like this is the first one, but, you know, they got a couple episodes in, so, you know. Yeah, so, right. Yeah, Adam said he's making us all look bad. He ain't making me look bad. I got to, you know, he said, you know, with his six-pack, I got a one-pack. Yeah. I'm proud of my one-pack.
You got your six-pack of old dude. I got my six-pack of...
Adam ain't no bigger than a chicken wing. Talking about he got a keg, you know.
Adam run marathons, man. What this?
Yeah, man. Adam get bit by a mosquito, and he looks like he gained weight. Anyway, so you know the biblical movies, man. Let me just wrap this up right quick. Yeah. You know, that's been an atrocity of rewrites. You know, especially the Ten Commandments. I for years just took the Ten Commandments at his word, and then, you know, getting involved in, you know, you're really not involved in the Bible too much when you're raised Catholic, and not as a point of study anyway. And my involvement with a few friends, and now of course the ongoing process in the morning prayer circle that, you know, is led by Jay Pastor, co-led by Cousin Ray, and I guess, you know, should mention Inger, you know, folk, because he and Jay Pastor, you know, created it. But anyway, getting more and more into it, and then just, you know, certain other movies out there too, but, this, you know, in particular, the Ten Commandments, it's like, you almost have to, like, if you're looking at the Bible and following the script, at some point you're going to stop and say, huh, what? And you're going to close the book and look at what Holy Bible? Is this really the Holy Bible? You know, cause if the movie is totally, you know, off the rails, it got a few of the names right. You know, like, you know, Moses, God, Aaron, you know, but like, in the movie, Sephora is Moses's Ethiopian wife. And, of course, Zipporah is his wife in Scripture. And it's important mainly for one technical reason above all others. They have sons, Moses and Zipporah. And in Hebrew tradition, the father passes down the word of the Lord to the son. So if you don't even get that as a clear understanding, then there's no way to get the color African heritage aspect of it, you know, into, you know, the creative imagination when it comes to the Word of God. So that's just, you know, one atrocity in itself. Now the movie, the epic Cleopatra did not look like Elizabeth Taylor, but, you know. Anyway, you know, it's just these things I grew up seeing. So for me, it's so exciting to see, I'd say Viola on the screen, because you're right. I mean, I think of her, and I think of her in Denzel and Fences, and I think of her, you know, standing alone in the movie she does. And, you know, I can't imagine seeing her in a movie that would make me cringe. Even Widows, I love seeing her in that, man. And, you know, let me get out of the way of all that now, man. Let you go ahead on where you're heading.
No, I just wanted to add on to this other part about the Woman King. And is a quote from one of the producers, and the producer stated, "I think that understanding issues surrounding slavery from the standpoint of the African perspective is relevant. we look at it most of the time from what happened once slaves, once they were enslaved and were actually landing in America versus what was going on the other side. You know, I used to say about us being in the fire before rising from the ashes, you know, and a lot of information that we've read about in as far as slavery, most of the information we got was when they were, you know, in the waters already boxed up in the ships on the bottom, you know, inhumane quarters and all that stuff, and when they got to new land. But I don't think that we've really, besides like Roots, you know, and I don't even know, you know, how valid that, you know, how much of a leg that could stand on, but we really never really had a lot of perspective on how things were in Africa, how things were as they were being enslaved. You know, imagine being a king of your people and Europeans are coming over in your land while you're fighting other tribes to protect your land, and they've got resources that can help you. But in order for you to thrive, you take advantage of these things to help your people survive, and you sell the POWs, if you will, the prisoners of war of your campaign, and you give them as slaves. And if you don't do that, then your people are going to get enslaved. It's just this kind of perspective I don't think we've ever given a chance to think about. And again, this movie gives this kind of perspective. And it challenges, I think it challenges, as you said earlier, that it challenges us to research and to really understand who was the Dahomey tribe. What was the kingdom of Dahomey? You know, who were their enemy? How did they prosper? What was the Agoge warriors? You know, what were they about? You know, and you're going to find out some things that you won't be surprised about, but at least you found out about it. You know, so I just wanted to add that perspective. Again, it's rare that we hear about that part of being in the fire. Usually we only hear the stories once they rise from the ashes or kind of slowly coming out. As far as slavery is concerned, we're still kind of working on that because we're still dealing with trauma. But I just wanted to add that perspective piece, Ted. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I guess it's all a perspective of how different generations have been, you know, exposed to African lore, you know, and I guess that is going to have a lot to do with, you know, either a first-time exposure to something that's real as opposed to a cartoon character that is totally fictional other than the land that, you know, it emanates from, you know. And to that degree, what part of education, whether formal in school or through entertainment, you know, individuals get. It's all perspective. For me, you know, my perspective started in the 60s. And I married somebody, you know, who, I think you know her. Oh, yeah, she's your mother, you know, who taught, you know, African history studies at Kenwood Academy, you know, when Kenwood Academy on the South Side was, you know, just getting started, you know, so she's teaching a history that wasn't even a known piece of criteria, you know, to a student body in the 60s, you know, in the, in the 60s and 70s, you know, and on up through her own career in one form or another. So the exposure to the whole aspect of Afrocentric history is always going to be a perspective of generations. Unfortunately, too many situations like this one does kind of fire up individuals to get focused on a singular event and miss the, well, not miss, but not necessarily integrate the overall perspective, like talking about centuries, you know, centuries before the Dahomey, you know, centuries before the Agoge, you know, centuries, you know, of a culture of civilization that civilization was born from, you know, unfortunately that always seems to get lost in the transition, in the translation. You mentioned Roots. Well, Roots had its impact in when it first came out in that, you know, the Smithsonian Institute in D.C. had to start a new venture that government picked up on because of the overwhelming number of phone calls to the White House, you know, people wanting to know more about, you know, how they could access. This is before we had Ancestry.com and a lot of the things now we can get in Google. You know, folks were calling wanting to know how they could trace their lineage to such a point that a whole bureau was set up to handle the calls, you know, and I think that's what led to a lot of these software programs now, where people are even sending in DNA to get a more accurate, you know, account of just, of course, some people are like, yeah, I didn't know I was going to have to contend with this part of my blood. Yeah, but I think a great disappointment for a lot of black folks is to find out, hey, you mean I ain't 100% bona fide Mandinga warrior? No, bro, you got some British in you. You know, you got some French and some Irish and some German. You know, yeah, you got, you know, most black folks, you know, share one thing in common, though, being, you know, here in America, is that we're homegrown. And this is just part of our lineage. But African, not slaves, African were brought, you know, to this country and made slaves to fit the economy of this country, you know, and it's not slaves were sent away. And you, I'm not saying you said that, you know, no, it was Africans. And yeah, and royal blood, you know, but we don't have to stretch ourselves too far in American history to get a taste of what that's like. We can get a taste of it right here, you know,
right
those
here.
Who are indigenous to this country, yeah. You know, it's not too different of a historical perspective, you know, that deals with those native to this country, you know, the red man, you know, and what happened with, and you brought it up, you mentioned it again in a previous show about the, I don't know, what do you call it, white supremacist attitude that dictated manifest destiny. It wasn't anything that was governmentally approved of. It was just a statement made by some editor out of the East Coast, you know, the word manifest destiny. And the president then said, bet, let's just start moving west and take everything we get. And in some ways, that's a segue for me in dealing with the situation in crisis or circumstance called inflation today. But I'll save that and back up again and by your leave, you know, let you continue with your stride.
So I wanted to, I know that yeah, you sounded good tonight, man. I know you got, you just, I don't know, you got a piece of wood, you know, I know, and I know you're chomping at the bit over there, man. So much you got on your plate right there in front of you. But before we jump into inflation, I wanted to share something with you all. And Dad's been wanting me to open up a little bit more. And I just wanted to share something, some experiences that I've been going through and dealing with. And it's quite an interesting development of circumstances. So recently I've been dealing with a situation with a neighbor, my immediate neighbor. And there are times in my backyard area I've been finding plastic bags of paper towels that were used to pick up dog crap. And, you know, whoever the person is, they clean up the crap in their yard and they put it in their bag and, you know, tie up the bag and everything. But instead of just throwing it away in the regular municipal trash container, they decide to just throw it over the gate into my yard, in my patio. Now, I don't have any cameras in the back. I know some of you are like, well, just put some cameras back there. Well, I'm renting the place, so I'm not going to do any major construction. That's up to the landlord to do that. That's what they should do. This is their property as far as that's concerned. But I've been keeping an eye out, right? So the other day I found a bag sitting in the patio again, right? There was one point where I even threw the bag over to the other yard, but then it wound up back over my patio with another bag.
Wow.
You know, it's like, man, you know, and the my landlord, the owner, just told me, you know, we want to keep the peace, you know, because we're not sure, you know, how they would react, and we don't want to be confrontational and things like that. And, you know, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but there's been plenty of times when I've had the best intentions in the world, and I offered every bit of peace and love and happiness in the situation, and it was still taken as confrontational. I'm sure a lot of us have had that situation. So I understand it, and she even went to the point to say, hey, I'll even just come clean it up. Just don't be confrontational. And, Dad, you know me, man. If there's a situation that is not right for the people, I'm like, you know, stand up and fight. You know,
I don't know about that, but I know if it ain't right for you, you're ready to fight.
You know, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. Especially, yeah, with me, man. I know what I want when I want it, and I want it now, and this ain't right, man. But I've been cool, and I've been calm, you know. But the other day, I found a bag there, right? And the neighbor had their dog in the backyard. They let him outside, right? And so I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I open up the patio door. I don't know what told me, but I open up the patio door and the dog started barking. And I said, oh, man, I'm thinking, look, let me go out here and just, I'm just going to stand here on the patio. And I knew the dog was just going to start barking. He just kept barking and barking. And lo and behold, the owner came out, the neighbor came out. Didn't know I was there. And she came out with her stick, man, like, I told you to, you know, ready to reprimand the dog for doing what dogs do, you know. And I'm like, ha-ha, gotcha. That's not how I approached it. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I gotcha. And so I was nice about it. Hey, excuse me. Hey, good afternoon. Hey, how you doing? And she didn't say nothing, man. She didn't say anything. She just gave me that look like a little kid to get caught straight up. I'm like, look. I don't know how it got here and blah, 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 but the bag is here. And immediately she got on the defense. And I forgot what you called it earlier, Dad, during the prayer circle, but you got to tell me what that phrase is again, how she reacted. But, you know, she immediately jumped on the defense, you know, no, I'm the one that cleans up the crap. And I wouldn't do that. What kind of person? No, no, it's not a Karen. This is a black woman. So a Karen is used to describe mostly white women. But she's like, no, it's not mine. I don't do that. You know, what kind of neighbor would that be? I know what I'm doing. I know how to take care of dogs. This ain't my first dog, all this stuff. But, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, she was like, well, just give it here. Of course, she was questioning it. And I'm standing right there next to the bag. So it's not like you can't say it's not here because it's sitting right here. You know, you know that look when you just got your hands out like, you see it? It's right there, you know, so. That was it. She's like, okay, give it to me, and she threw it away. So far, there hasn't been any other bags in the patio. So I still check every day. I still look in the back, and hopefully nothing will show up again. But the other day, man, the next day, their dog gets loose. I think they forgot that they had let him in the backyard, and I think everybody left. The kids went to school. The mom went to work. And the dog got out the backyard and was in the front yard. This is like 8 in the morning, man. I'm getting back from work. And the dog's just chilling in the back. I got one neighbor on the other side that's afraid to go in the house. I got another neighbor 2 doors down that's afraid to go in the house. And she got contractors. Everybody's tripping because this dog is out, right? And they even called the police. Now, we know the dog is friendly, right? It's not this dog's fault. You know, he just got shitty owners. Excuse my language. He just got bad owners, man. And so they called the police. And here in where I live, there aren't any animal control departments or anything like that. You know, the police are going to respond. And usually, all they're going to respond with is force. And it's either a taser or bullets or gun, right? So at first I was like, man, you know, Sue wanted to jump in right away and help. And I tell you, at first, I didn't want to, you know. I was like, man, this ain't my problem. This ain't my dog. You know, this they problem. Where they at? They need to get over here and take care of this dog. I don't want to deal with this. But something, before the police got out the truck, you know, something just told me, man, you know, you need to be better about it. You know, even before the show, I had this moment of humbleness. And I guess it's, I don't know if it's humble. I don't know what you would call it. But in a brief moment, I realized, you know, it's not about me. And I think it has something to do, again, with what I mentioned about Monday, how the universe is and conspiring against me and all these moments of consciousness that we try to get close to. But even though the dog is not my dog, you know, it's not really my problem, I was still there. I still think I had the capacity to help. And I was like, you know what? Okay, Sue, this is what we're going to do. And I came up with a whole freaking plan, man. Came up with a whole plan. I'm like, okay, Sue, go in the backyard. You're going to distract the dog. Call the dog back there in our backyard. You call the dog back there and play with him. You know, he's going to be on the fence, straddling the fence. Distract him. And we'll come and lock up the gate. And the police was like, well, I'm not going over there. The policeman was like, I'm not going over there. I'm not going in somebody's yard with their dog out like that. And it's funny because I'm telling the police officer to back me up. I never thought that in my lifetime I would be telling a police officer, okay, look, back me up. And so we steadily creeping around the house, man, while Sue's playing with the dog. Yeah. And, at one point, the dog heard us, man, and he came back to the gate, and it's like, huh. You know that moment? Anybody has ever been confronted with a dog, you know that brief 3 seconds of, huh, when they looking at you and you looking at it like, okay, what we going to do? You know, it's like, what's happening? And my man, the police officer, had the taser, man, and everything. He's like, don't move. And I'm looking at the cop like, man, like this dog really going to listen to what you saying, man, you know, but. The dog went back, went to play with Sue, and we locked up the gate. The dog wasn't harmed, and everything was fine. But it was quite a learning experience, if you will, and even dealing with so many different scenarios. Number one, even just, you know, talking with the police officer and building such a quick rapport to where he's depending on me and I'm depending on him. And we know in this time, and especially in this neighborhood where I live, it's not a lot of that. And then on top of that, taking this problem that's not my problem, but still trying to offer a solution, you know, you say what, you think I was looking for Sue. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know, Dad, if you can expand on what Ray was saying in the chat room. But that was it. That was my experience. So I know. Dad's been asking, like, how I've been doing, because I've been going through this situation here with my neighbor. But hopefully, and I know that they know what happened because they got cameras all on their front porch and everything. So I know they know everything that happened. And I'm not waiting for them to say thank you or for them to see Sue and say thank you. But it's quite an interesting set of circumstances. And I know, Dad, you even mentioned you think it has something to do with the fact that that Sue's not black, and being in a mixed relationship, mixed racial relationship, might have had something to do with this neighbor throwing this bags of dog stuff over the gate. And I never even thought about that until you mentioned it. And I guess it's just one of those things where I never really wanted to pull a lot of energy and focus into thinking about it, because I feel like that if I do, then maybe I'll start seeing it more and stuff like that. But I think that's going to be another subject, another discussion for another time, perhaps. But all that to be said, man, I'm doing good. I'm feeling great about things, actually. Of course, if I find a bag of dog crap in the patio again, I'll be thoroughly disappointed. So here's to hoping that no more bags of dog crap falls from the sky. So there you have it.
Quite a saga, man.
Quite a saga.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, at any given time, you know, an incident can evolve into an event, you know, and an event can take on its own life. You know, so, you know, I think if nothing else, I think having the issue with your neighbor and then having a circumstance of humanitarian response to me, you know, is the point of the point, you know, like 1 minute, you know, fighting over a bag of dog crap, and then the next minute having to come to the rescue, you know, of the same dog, you know, for neighbors who aren't even around, you know, while you're in the midst of the controversy. I just think that's pretty cool. So, so anyway, I don't want to cut in yet. Where are you?
Well, that's, I just wanted to, I know you wanted me to share that. And, you know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more, I get more humbled about it. You know, even like I said before the show, I'm thinking about that situation, and I'm having other moments thinking about how much, you know, I wonder, like, how many people, I think about how the amount of people I've interacted with. I think about how many times I might have done something to help somebody without looking for any recognition, or how we do things. You know, hopefully that we all kind of do things to help people without looking for those accolades. Of course, they're nice. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? But it was just a kind of a humbling experience. So no, but I was through with it. I know if you wanted to expand more, you know, I'm sure you can ask me some questions or anything else you think I might have missed. But
No. I feel like you covered everything very well. No question about it. You know, but, yeah. So it's like 1:45. So I don't know how much I want to get into this this theme of what I wanted to talk about. Instead, if you're okay with it, I kind of want to go in another direction. And I don't know if he's even available to do this, but I had hit up Ray earlier today and asked if he'd be willing to come on the show tonight and just talk a little bit about, you know, the themes of economy. You know, I had prefaced it with inflation, but that's not necessary. I just wanted to get, you know, a different point of view from not just a knowledgeable perspective, but a Black perspective about the issues of economy and if there's any recognizable struggle that maybe Black folks have with understanding the money market, so to say. So, Ray, I don't know if you be willing to jump in. I'm sure not going to pull you in if you don't want to talk on the subject. And if not, that's cool. I mean, I'll spend a couple minutes bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, let me say this: when it comes to, I know inflation is the key word here, and I really, as much as we've done shows about money and economics, I'm still not that clear with what inflation is. And it just seems like when I start hearing politicians talk about inflation and recession, I know that being Black in America, that just means that I'm going to end up paying, what, more taxes, or I'm just, you know, spending is increasing. And to me, that's all that, you know, I'm sure that there's more to it. So I would love to definitely hear more about that.
Just okay, to help well, me let me just, yeah, let me just jump in with this, and we can always bring him in at another time or however it works out. Inflation. First of all, you know, the whole thing about what got me started with this has to do with the midterm elections coming up in a couple months, well, a little over a month. And I'm sure that even that in itself is something that escapes many in the hood, you know, many in the Black community, you know, what the midterms are about. And it's just so much that just one thing just gets pulled into the next when it comes to this society of ours and the complications of how it does what it does in certain ways that just makes it impossible for people to find out, especially Black folks, where we're represented in all this. Like, you know, only 39% of Congress and 17% of state lawmakers have a law degree. You know, so it's like they're writing laws that they don't even know anything about. and it's affecting people who they don't know anything about in ways they don't know anything about. And so the major themes even, you know, that the media, you know, predominantly white media is saying the five top term election issues are Afghanistan, abortion, Donald Trump, crime, and COVID. You know, okay, but you know, I would like to also ask, just for the sake of personal imagination, what are your five tops? You know, like mine has a list that includes civil rights, race and racism, drug reform, economy and jobs, gun violence, taxes, and education. You know, and I don't know if even saying that and naming those things translates into much of anything. So then terms and terminologies come along that I know everybody in the political spectrum have talked about, maybe not so much in the social arena, but a word like inflation pops up. And I've heard the word inflation for as far back as I can remember when it mattered to me. I'm sure there were times when it didn't. And I wouldn't have to go back that far to say, oh, yeah, okay, it's only been a few years. But, you know, so what exactly, you know, is the deal here? And how much does it have an impact on my life? So that's kind of where I just wanted to take off from. Inflation, you know, somewhat defined, you know, it's inflation remains elevated. When it remains elevated, reflecting supply and demand imbalances related to the pandemic, for an example, higher food and energy prices, for an example, and a broader price pressures. Now, of course, broader price pressures, then also, not only is it hard to say, but then it brings up another question about what the hell does that mean? So there's been a modest growth in spending and production. Job gains have been robust lately. And the unemployment rate has remained low. So what does all this mean? Because this ties into inflation and somehow inflation versus economic downturn. So then comes another phrase, economic downturn. So what in the hell is inflation? Inflation is a general increase in the prices of goods and services. That's it. It's a general increase in the prices of goods and services. When the general price level rises, each unit of currency, like a dollar, buys fewer goods and services. Inflation corresponds to a reduction in the purchasing power of money. For example, if one has taken one unit of currency to a store in the 1950s, it would have been possible to buy a greater number of items than would be the case today. However, assuming, I think, if one is making today's salary compared to the cost of goods and services in the 50s, otherwise, you know, you kind of get where I'm coming from, it's going to stay, you know, equally balanced. So, you know, the more I make, the more I have to spend for the more things that I want to get. You know, and traditionally, the purchasing power of money depended on the local value of gold and silver. Most modern flat currencies, like dollars, are traded against each other for the purpose of international transfer of payments for goods and services. You know, and there are so many related terms to the money market. And, you know, I know you've heard me say it before, Will, and I've said it to others, that black folks are just now being introduced to the money market and a way of understanding it. I haven't arrived to that place yet. I depend on the brain power of others who are involved in the money market. I don't mean others who are involved in it because other people drew them to it. I'm talking about people who work at it and are involved with the interchange or exchange of money. You know, I depend on them to give me an idea of at least what direction I need to go into to get a deeper understanding. Unfortunately, I didn't pay any attention to economics as a class when I was in high school. But then again, I didn't pay attention to too many other classes either. You don't get to spend 5.5 years in high school because you're attentive. Anyway, okay, so what? So then there's terms like the secondary market, you know, transactional costs, stocks, bonds. Stocks used to refer to shares, yet people are still called shareholders, which of course means stockholders, huh? Financial seniority and something called pari passu, you know, which is a Latin term, you know, which means with an equal step. So all of this, and I'm not even going to finish the rest of it because I'm looking at the clock and saying, okay, this is crazy. All of this is just leading to other terms like the financial market, you know, and explaining what that market is, financial assets, derivatives, hedge funds, and terms that, you know, we get a little glimpse of, like I said earlier, stocks and bonds, you know, hedges, you know, you've heard hedge funds. We get a little glimpse of these things, but futures, you know, options and swaps, you know, we get a little glimpse of them, but we really don't know how that has any bearing on us, meaning black folks, and our struggles with every day-to-day life, trying to make ends meet, trying to understand how come I got this $1,000 I get from the government every month, and I go to one store and I spend $45 on things I need, and I go to another and it's $90. You know, and is the quality of what I'm purchasing any better, or do I wind up having to sacrifice quality for quantity? So I start buying subpar things just for like nutritional circumstance. So I give you an example: water. You know, water is water, right? Well, no, I guess not, because water today isn't just what I used to get out of the garden hose or the faucet. You know, now there's an issue of pH balance and ionizing. You know, so the purification of water. Water, by the way, that this government polluted, and now they charge us to get, you know, as opposed to just buying, you know, water that says, you know, it's been sanitized. So I spend $12 on a six-pack of purified water when I could spend $4 on 24 bottles of great value water from Walmart. You know, so, you know, but I'm talking to my nephew. He said, well, he found that when he goes to the doctor, there are certain aspects of the quality of water that has a bearing on his printout, on his reads, on what, you know, what is shown in tests. And we got to remember, you know, our bodies make up over 80%, you know, over 80% of our bodies are water. Well, some say 80, some say 70, some say 90. So, you know, it all depends, and nobody is still clear on how much water we need to drink to accurately hydrate ourselves. We never used that term when I was growing up. Hey, man, we just played three games of full court basketball in 90-degree weather. Run over there to the water faucet and hydrate yourself. You know, you know, we knew what a fire hydrant was, but we didn't have any idea what, you know, hydrating meant. That was not a term we used. So what is this? Adam said, you're paying partially the increase. I'm not sure if I'm reading it. You're paying partially the increase in gas prices. A gallon of milk will increase when the price of gas increases, and so forth and so on. So the whole thing of inflation has to do with just what the word suggests. Things get inflated. And can you keep up with the inflation based on how much you're making? Most people who are struggling in a social, economically impoverished community can't, but not even aware of it. You know, so, you know, our banks used to have a responsibility to the neighborhoods that they were involved in. Of course, now we have so many chain banks that have absolutely no sense of the communities that they're investing, whether it's the Chase or the Bank of America's or whatever the case may be. You know, the neighborhood banks, like one that I, you know, grew as an adult, had some involvement with the Independence Bank, and then there was Seaway Bank. They were pretty much black run on the South Side. And they had a responsibility, although people didn't take advantage of it, where they had people who were in positions who would provide gratis, who would provide free information to anybody who needed to improve their understanding of the money market. They would come out and, you know, give workshops or whatever. But it was at the request of the people in the neighborhood, and unfortunately most people didn't even know the service existed, so most people didn't even take advantage of it. So most of those who were hired to do one thing wound up having, you know, to be borrowed off in other areas of the bank to do other things. And I don't know about you, you know, but I did have a neighbor when I lived in Country Club Hills who was the a high-ranking officer in one of the black banks. And he and I would have conversations about these things I'm talking about. But he understood I knew nothing, so he didn't overwhelm me with terms he already knew I didn't understand. And in the end, I still didn't understand. You know, the money market is as confusing to me as algebra. Oh, it has to do with figures. So knowing how gifted, you know, my nephew Ray is, and you, Will, and so many other members of my family when it comes to, you know, figures, you know, that just seems to be a gene that bypassed me. It just kind of, you know, I know they say in the Alcoholics Anonymous world that the trait of the alcoholic in a family will sometimes skip a generation. Well, I think that that gene also exists in the world of arithmetic. That really, though, that's not true, because I was great in arithmetic. It was just when they turned numbers into letters that I never figured out X, the unknown. It's still unknown to me. So I'll get more into, in a future show, the themes and the terms and the definitions that surround inflation, like, you know, who monitors inflation, how is inflation measured, and something called the budgetary tools. Get into all that, you know, in future shows, maybe, or maybe not, depending on what we feel is the necessary flow. But I wanted to at least give just a little sketchy approach toward at least just having some information behind the word inflation, just so when certain phrases pop up that we hear, and then and if folks happen to listen to news shows and they start talking about the economy, at least certain terms will pop up that hopefully we'll be a little bit more familiar with, worth looking up, and hopefully will tie into a deeper understanding of what it comes from. But, you know, through all that, for me, the bottom line is a movie I saw years ago, Wall Street, and this guy, Gordon Gekko, said in a speech to the stockholders that greed is good. And I think after everything is said and done, for me anyway, this is how it works in my mind. You know, greed is the driving force behind whatever these financial institutions call, whatever they call, when people are trying to make dollars connect, make the ends meet. You know, it's not the kind of world we live in today where curry shells or pieces of tree bark or whatever the case may be.
Barter system.
Yeah, that is freely exchanged because one piece is no greater than the other. They have equal value. You know, unfortunately, we live in a time now where we can poison our drinking water and make people pay for it, poison our air supply, make people pay for it, threaten the very foods we eat, make people pay for it, and then wonder why, you know, people are spending more time. People who have benefit are spending more time at the doctor, or people are just dropping dead on the streets. You know, greed. You know, and I don't care, you know, what we call it. In the end, you know, a few have a lot more than the many don't have. And the few have no problem existing in this cosmic economy that seems to be a universal approach toward dealing with the ins and the outs of who is going to be in power, who is going to be healthy, who is going to be well off, and who isn't. So anyway, there it is. Hope that wasn't a whole lot in a short period of time. Well, it was, but hopefully that whole lot in a short period of time, you know, had some impact. You know, even the word hedging comes from an old English meaning, which has to do with, in essence, a fence. Now, we all know what a fence is, you know, when it comes to stolen goods, you know, so hedge funds, you know, have at least some kind of roots to, you know, an old English term that has to do with, you know, a fence, you know, somebody who takes something and gets you a percentage of what you stole back to you while they take it to somebody else who benefits from what you stole, and then they turn that profit. You know, it's quite a, you know, and they have another term called the black market that fits right into it. So, you know, it's something. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to back up real quick. So with the midterms coming up, you said there were 5 points that pique your interest. Is that you specifically?
Well, there are five that pique my interest, yeah.
Yeah.
And what were the five again?
Civil rights, race and racism, drug reform, the economy of jobs, and gun violence. Those are my five.
Cool.
You know.
And I was asking that again to hopefully, you know, as we close out the show, our listeners with their pen and pads may think about five subjects or so, 5 points or three. I mean, me, I don't have five, you know, maybe two or three right now.
Let me explain that right quick. I was saying five just to parallel with the five main topics that the political spectrum or the social outlets are saying, which were Afghanistan, abortion, Donald Trump, crime, and COVID. So I just wanted to give my five in parallel to the main five that the social or the political media is speaking on. So that's the only reason I use five. Yeah.
Right, right. And I'm sure, like I said, that there are some other people that will have some different points. And that's why I was just, you know, just asking.
Yeah, like taxes,
you know,
and
that,
education. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So before we close out, I just wanted to, I see that Vernon is, he's not there now, he's gone. Okay, never mind. Well, happy birthday, Vernon. All right. So, you know, and I think that we can take some of those topics and probably look at these in some other future shows. I know Ray was asking about gun violence or just plain gun ownership. I think that's definitely something that we could jump into next week and looking at some of these different topics. Or if there's other points that Ray, you have, Adam, anybody else that's listening, maybe there's some topics that maybe you think that we should consider. Now, and I mean, you know, us being Black Americans, maybe not to, you know, like, I don't see us talking about Donald Trump on this show. I don't even see why he's even a point to even continue to discuss, but again, that's another topic for another time, right?
Because of his influence on the midterm election. See, this is why shows like this to me are important. It's not just Donald Trump as a man that's annoying, but we live in a government. We live in a governmental environment right now that many who are running for midterm elections are looking for his endorsement. And people need to understand, like it or not, there's still an aspect, a part of American society that this crook influences. And he tried to even talk about his political career. Donald Trump did not have a political career before he became president. You know, so he's a shell. You know, he's a caricature of everything that's wrong with the idea of democracy. So as far as the midterms are concerned, it is a value to talk about those candidates that seek his endorsement and then taking a look at what the background of those candidates are that feel like they would need him to give them the boost they need. What do they represent? And I think that's where we begin to understand how polarized this country is and what the true value of votes are and how gentrification and how, you know, changing boundaries and borders and voter themes and how even the issues of voter registration and making it more difficult come into play. You know, there's a severity of concern that I have, you know, through the ignorance that so many of us unfortunately weld in regards to just not being clear versed on the overall impact of what the futures of politics can have on those who this government hasn't bothered to serve anyway. You know, I'm a little bit afraid. You know, I'm a little bit afraid regarding the comfort and the future and the growth of Black America in this current political climate. It does. It frightens me, you know, to see what direction and what the potential of this direction could be if the balance of power, even though it really doesn't matter that much, it seems, in the long run, to the overall impact on Black folks. Nevertheless, if the Senate and the House become Republican dominant, there are just certain things that through a trickle-down effect are going to have a tremendous impact on the social well-being of Black America, you know, and it will go unnoticed, as most things have anyway. So anyway, you know, that I just wanted to just speak on behalf of the important. Yeah, Donald Trump is an annoyance, is an aberration, so to say, but his political influence in this country still has impact, still has flavor. Okay. And yeah, I agree, right? Gun violence or just plain gun ownership is something that needs to be taken a look at, both separate and together. What does that mean? You know, what do both mean? Does one play into the other? I don't know, but I know that guns, you know, I guess I'm just scary. Guns scare me. You know, what is that that they used to say? You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. But people kill people with guns. Go ahead, man, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the gun doesn't pull its own trigger. The people pull the trigger. So that's that debate that goes back and forth.
Yeah, but it's trigger of a gun. Okay, yeah, man.
So, right. All right. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, fam. Thank you for everybody listening tonight. It was kind of cool seeing all the cousins out there.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So this is the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, everybody. Here we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. I'm Will. That's Bill over there. And we're live every Monday and Wednesday. If you miss any shows, we do ask you go back and check them out. It's only about an hour or so. It won't take up a lot of your time, and we hope that you enjoy them as much as we enjoy doing them. And check them out on your favorite podcast platforms as well, Google, Spotify, Apple, whatever. Just look up the Greenhouse Effect. That's the letter FX at the end, and you'll find us. As always, please be blessed, be safe, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Until Monday, you all stay safe out there. Dad?
Yo.
You all good?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Good night, everybody. Amen.